Hey guys, and happy Monday. Welcome back to the Same Sis Podcast. I am Brooke, and today I have my husband Rhett on with me. Say hi, Rhett.
Hey guys.
It's just us this week because we got back from Lake Powell late Wednesday afternoon, and Kylie left for California for her sister's bachelorette party early Thursday morning. And so we didn't have any time to record together. So now it's Rhett and I today. We will miss her, but I am so excited to have Rhett here with me. And we have a really fun episode in store for you. We asked you guys to submit your vacation horror stories, and I'm so excited to read them. We haven't read any of them in advance, and so we're going to be hearing them for the first time with you guys. But before we jump into your stories, we wanted to share a little bit about what inspired this topic, our Lake Powell trip. Let's just say it was quite possibly the worst Lake Powell trip we have ever experienced. And to preface this, there hasn't been a single Lake Powell trip where something hasn't gone wrong, but this one takes the cake. And I will say we still enjoyed it. We loved it. It was so much fun. It's so beautiful there. It's one of my favorite places on earth. And so I don't want to sound like a brat and just like complain about this trip. Like, we are so blessed and lucky to be able to go on this trip. And we're so grateful to my parents because it's their boat, it's their houseboat. So we're very lucky to go on it, but a lot of things went wrong. And for those of you who aren't familiar, what you do when you take a houseboat out on Lake Powell, basically you unload all of your stuff into the houseboat at the marina. Then you drive like 45 plus minute drive out to a beach that you choose. And so you take it out on this channel. It's super wavy and bumpy. The houseboat doesn't drive super fast, so that's why it takes a while. And depending on where you decide to beach it, it could take longer. But then once you get there, you dig a bunch of holes, right, babe?
Yep. Lots of big holes.
Yeah. So we have to dig some big holes. There's, I think we do 4 or 5, because we have to bury these huge anchors to anchor the houseboat to the beach.
Let's back it up. I'm just going to reiterate one thing. So normally when we do these Lake Powell trips, everyone goes up on the same day. However, this year was a little different. People came up on different dates, and it just so happened to be that the day we were going up as a family, there was only one other couple going up that had a male. I mean, you know. And so, it's easier with the more people you have, and certain, like, you know, women and men included have certain roles that they do when the houseboat pulls up. So digging holes, you know, is usually the man's job. So we were doing this, and it was just me and one other man. So,
but Megan and I did help.
You did. You guys did great. And that's why women can do it. I'm just saying it's,
yeah,
you know,
usually the men are the ones that dig the holes. We're taking care of the babies. Yeah. Or we do the rope lines. We bring out the rope lines to them and, other little things. It's like a big production when we land to the beach. And my dad is there like driving the boat, making sure it doesn't turn to the side.
Well, yeah. And also I don't really want you digging out in the heat anyways. You know what I mean? Because, you know,
the boys like to take care of us.
Yes.
We got on a little tangent, but we beach it. We dig the holes. So like we're camped out there for the entire 7 to 10 days, however long we're going.
And you got to realize too, that when you're out there, you don't have good service on your phone. You have to drive different places to get service. And just to go get some sort of, I don't know, resource that you need, it's about a 40-minute boat ride back to the marina. So you have to really make sure that you're really prepped when you get to your beach with everything you have, because it just wastes time and it's just, you know.
Yeah. So it's a big ordeal to like just even get there and get like set up. Then once you're set up, you're good for the week and you can enjoy your trip. Well, the first thing we noticed that went wrong was our showers when they were ran. They smelled so bad, like rotten eggs.
So bad.
And we couldn't figure out what was going on there. Like that was just kind of like, I feel like, the warning.
Start of it. Yeah.
That was like our warning about what was about to happen.
But we had no idea this stuff was going to happen. So
we were told to like run the showers for like 15 minutes before we actually got in, because like for some reason, I don't know, the water was smelling. So after it ran for like 15 minutes, it smelled fine. And then the next thing that happened was the left ballast on my parents' ski boat wouldn't fill. So basically we couldn't do any of the surfing or wakeboarding on the left side, which is basically what you're at Lake Powell for.
And half the people that come with us surf and wakeboard on the left side. So you need that.
Yeah. But we were lucky enough to be able to switch out the boat for a loaner boat so that we were able to still do all the fun boating activities for the rest of the trip. But that means we had to drive the boat back 40 minutes.
A full day.
And then once you get there to the marina, pull it out of the water, go drive to pick up the new boat, and then you put that boat back in the water and drive that all the way back out to the houseboat. So that was like a full day without the boat, and that the boys went and they had to go and do all of that.
Two boys. Well, three boys.
Yeah. And so that was the second thing that went wrong. Then the third thing. So Rhett and I's room is at the, I don't know what you would call it, like basement. I mean
the bottom of the boat.
The bottom of the houseboat. And one of the nights when we walked down there, Rhett felt that the carpet was like soaking wet. Like the kind where you like step in it and it like the water floods up around your feet. And that is not a good sign on a boat.
Especially a houseboat.
Yeah. So then we pull back this little door that's by our bed. And we see that the hole underneath inside of the houseboat is flooded. There was probably like 5 inches of water just from where we could see. There was like a board. And then underneath that, the water was coming up from. So we don't even know how much was underneath there. For some reason, the bilge, which would usually pump any water that gets into the houseboat out. And so that wasn't working clearly because we were flooding and we realized the whole houseboat was tilted.
And I think it was getting worse as we were like,
oh yeah. We noticed that like maybe like 2 days in, but we just didn't really think of anything of it. We just were like, oh,
maybe we're tilting.
We have too much weight on one side from something. And so we had been kind of noticing it until like we've been noticing it for like, I think it was like the third day that we started flooding. And so we immediately had to, and this was at night, mind you. So like everything's closed, everyone's asleep. It was like 7 p.m. Like we were going down into our room to go to bed. And so we got this tiny little water pump that my dad luckily had and started pumping water out. We got buckets. We were like scooping out the water. At this point, we had no idea what was going on. The boys did like a bunch of exploring through the bottom of the houseboat to like make sure that we didn't have like a hole. We just had no idea what was happening. And then we finally found out that the water filtration system had a leak and it had been leaking the entire time. Basically, it's where the water is getting sucked up from the lake and being filtered so that we can use it for our showers, for our sinks, whatever. And it had been leaking this entire time and there was like a steady stream of it. So the boat was full of gallons and gallons and gallons of water. And we were lucky enough to find it and pumped it all out throughout the night.
I wonder if that's why, do you think that's why some people were getting sick? Because they were drinking water that wasn't being filtered?
No, because it was being filtered. It was just leaking.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But anyways, we had to drive the houseboat back the next morning because the pump, the bilge wasn't working. We couldn't just be like pumping out water and bucketing out water all week. So we had to unanchor. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say also like we thought about maybe driving the houseboat back that night, but we didn't know what would happen if we drove it when there was that much water in it. And it's hard to drive at Lake Powell at night. So
yeah, it's pitch black.
There's no lights really on front of this houseboat.
Yeah. And we did need to make sure that we had some of the water out at least. And so by the morning, I think actually we had gotten almost all of the water out just through this little pump that had been pumping all night. And then we had to dig up all the anchors, pack everything up off the beach and drive all the way back that 45 minutes, got into the marina.
Well, me and you went with your mom to try to find another beach and a ski boat.
Yeah. So we got on the ski boat while everybody was driving back on the houseboat and searched for a new beach so that like cross our fingers, the houseboat could get fixed. We can come back out. And we brought it in, they fixed it. We spent like that whole day basically at the marina. And then, once it was fixed, we drove it all the way back out to the new beach that we found. And actually this beach was an upgrade, I will say.
Yes.
So it was kind of nice. Like we got to play on this beautiful beach. It had like an amazing view, this fun little lagoon to swim in, cliff jumping spots.
Rocks, mountains, like rocks to climb.
Yeah.
It was great.
It was so great. And the sand was like, the beach prior had a ton of like
stickies,
little thorns and like prickly bushes. And so this one had way less of like that.
Almost none.
None.
I don't think I think I might have stepped on one the whole time we were there.
Yeah. And those sticky bushes, they attracted gnats. Mm-hmm. And so our first spot had tons of gnats. This spot like had barely any. The sand was like so soft and squishy and fun for the kids to play in and like build sandcastles and whatnot. So it was an upgrade. But don't worry.
This is not the happy end.
It's not the end. Oh my goodness. So then what else happened after that?
So then it was the generator.
Yeah. So then we left Rhett home alone at the houseboat because he was watching Clove. Yeah, she was taking a nap and we went out for a boat ride and we come back and we realized it's like really hot. And like,
I didn't really notice. I didn't really think about it too much because like I just thought it was like Powell and it gets hot. And so I didn't really realize like there was no AC pumping because I just thought it was just getting hot.
Yeah.
And in our houseboat didn't have any shade either. Like there was no shade on either side of the houseboat.
So he didn't realize it. But when we got in, we realized it immediately. And then like, I think it was an hour or two later after we had arrived, everything shut off on the houseboat. And that's when we decided to go and investigate. And it turns out the belts on our generator had completely snapped. And there's like two of them.
No, they were gone. They were like rubbed or like they were gone.
Yeah, they were snapped.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they weren't there anymore. And so that means we had no power. So no AC.
No lights.
No lights, no water. And
literally nothing.
We're in the middle of the lake. We don't have like any supplies to live without those things. And we have babies. And so our choices were
AKA a 1-year-old.
Camp it out on the beach, basically. Because we didn't have any lights. I don't even know if we have flashlights on that boat. Maybe like one or two.
Those spotlights are the only thing on your desk. Yes.
And so we quickly decided that was a no-go. And we didn't think we could like survive the night without AC. It is so hot there, you guys. And we only had two blow-up mattresses for people to sleep upstairs on if we wanted to sleep outside of the houseboat to stay cooler. So we decided to drive back that night. And so we drove it back right at sunset. That 45 minutes again.
Dug up the anchors again.
Dug up the anchors again. And parked it at the marina. Luckily, we were able to plug in there. But don't worry. Gosh. The plug that we were supposed to plug our houseboat into didn't work. And we ended up stealing somebody else's spot to plug in our houseboat, which wasn't our choice. We found out later that that had happened. And
we thought they were gone.
The next morning, yeah, they thought that the person in that houseboat was gone, so it wouldn't really matter. We would just plug it back in once ours was fixed. But the next morning, the guy came over and yelled at us because he's like,
I don't have any, unplugged my
power and burnt out my batteries. And so anyways, they had to fix that. A rat, I guess, had chewed through the wires that were supposed to be for our houseboat. And then we ended up staying in the marina the rest of the trip, which was 2 days. And so it's just hard because if you drive anywhere outside of the marina, it's super wavy because that's where all the houseboats and boats are like
going
back and forth. Yeah. And so it's super choppy. You can't really like surf or wakeboard in that area.
And it's terrifying because there's houseboats going by all the time.
Yeah.
So.
And there's no beach spots to like
it's all canyon drop off cliffs. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a bummer that we spent like our last 2 days in the marina, but we made the most of it. We still had a good time. It's still beautiful there. And then to top it all off, our Nintendo Switch, where it was charging, it got knocked off the counter and the screen broke. So it was.
And I got sick.
Yeah, Rhett got sick. The whole houseboat actually got sick. People were throwing up, having diarrhea. Like everyone was sick. Luckily, headaches, me and the kids colds. Didn't get sick. But yeah, it was.
It was something out of a nightmare or like a horror film, you know?
I know, just like one thing after the other. And by the end of it, like we were all like trying to be positive about it. But by the end of it, we're like, yeah, that was the worst Lake Powell trip.
Yeah. And I think your mom had mentioned too, in the very beginning, when the first thing happened, she goes, oh, this is just a bad omen of things that are going to happen. And I'm like, why are you saying that?
Oh, I never heard her.
You never heard her say that? No. And then I should ask her now how she feels about saying that. But I'm telling you, like it was the first thing that she said after that. And it was just one thing after another.
I'm surprised that she said that, because typically something does go wrong. And if it goes wrong in the beginning of the trip, you're kind of like, oh, phew, like well, we got it over with, the bad thing.
Yeah. And it's, and there's a saying at Lake Powell, like, it's not Lake Powell if something doesn't go wrong. Like something always goes wrong. But I, in my experience of going to Lake Powell, it has never been this bad.
Yeah, it was bad. And, you know, next year, I think we're going to be counting ourselves out. We need a little bit of a recovery.
Yeah.
But
I might stick to California, just head over there to the beach and call it.
But don't let that scare you off from going to Lake Powell. Lake Powell is amazing.
So
it's beautiful.
Fun.
Yes, something may or will likely go wrong, but it's so worth it. It's, yeah, it's one of our favorite trips for sure. We've been going for 20 plus years. So,
and we play games at night. It's basically like living with your whole family under one roof. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, it's fun. Like, you get to be with each other constantly and play fun games. And it's a blast. Eat good food, snacks.
And you get like your own little space, like out in the middle of nowhere, and still have.
And not to mention, and not to mention, like, Asher loved it. Clove loved it. Like,
yeah,
it is a little stressful having a 1 and 2 year old, but you know, it's in a,
that is what it is with traveling with kids.
Exactly.
It's going to be stressful wherever you go.
Right.
You just have to decide how you want to experience that trip.
Exactly.
That being said, you guys, let's go ahead and jump into yours.
I haven't heard any of these, you guys, and I'm really excited to hear these.
All right. I'm going to read the first one. We took my 1-year-old on a trip to San Diego. We drove all the way there, stayed one day, and that night he came down with a fever and was crying all night. We decided to make the drive back to Phoenix the next day. It turns out he had HFM and was so miserable. Aw. Hand, foot, mouth is what HFM is.
Oh, geez.
That sucks. I mean, I will say you guys probably made the right call about driving home that day.
Oh, that would be rough.
But I will say, Kylene and Daniel went to California with us. And Rocky threw up one of the nights we were there, but then was like fine the next morning. Did they drive back that day or that the next night?
The next night. Because I think we talked him into staying.
Yeah. Daniel was ready to drive home the next morning. Maybe he'll be mad at me for sharing this.
No, we love Daniel.
But he was like, yeah, he's like, he was ready to drive back. And I was like, man, if my kid is throwing up and sick, I'd rather them not be doing that in the car. But
hands, foot, and mouth, I feel like is like.
Hand, foot, mouth is the worst. And it gets worse as it progresses.
Isn't it very contagious too?
It's very contagious. Yeah. And would be so uncomfortable if they like had developed all of like the sores before you driven home. Cause then you like are dealing with that in the car. But
and it's also like, what do you do on vacation when your kid's doing that? Especially 1 year old. So yeah, it's hard, you know?
Yeah, just
like,
it's hard.
Like you're probably in with your kid, your 1 year old, and
totally
can't enjoy it.
No.
It's a bummer.
But yeah, Kylene, they ended up leaving that next night. So we convinced him to stay during the day because he was acting totally fine. We weren't really super worried about our kids getting sick. And we still had a great time. We left the next morning. So it's not like they left super early.
Right.
But it is funny, like their natural instinct was to be like, this is horrible. We got to go.
Let's get the heck out of here.
Get out of here. Rhett and I probably are like the tough it out ones, which in this hand, foot, and mouth case would have been really bad for us.
Yes. Yes.
Anytime your kids get sick on vacation. Oh,
I'm sorry. If you,
it's just bad.
Again, if I drove all the way to San Diego and you're like, hey, let's go back the next day. How would I react, Brooke?
You would be, you think you would go back?
No,
if your kids were sick?
I'd be mad. I wouldn't want to drive back.
Oh yeah. No.
My husband and I took a honeymoon to Florida when we were 21 and 20. We got to the car rental place, and even though we paid the under $25 fee, they wouldn't rent us a car. We couldn't find any other rental car place that was open, so we Ubered to a U-Haul and rented a giant van. We drove it around for a week and a half. It was hot with no AC, hard to drive, and infested with cockroaches, but it's seriously one of my favorite memories.
Oh, my
And they sent a photo.
Gosh.
That's really funny.
Let me see the photo.
That's guys look hilarious. Like you're in good spirits with that one.
You do. They look like they have huge smiles
it's
on
a
their
memory,
faces.
You know?
And their thumbs are up.
It's a memory.
But we get that. Like, I swear, rental car issues on a trip are the worst.
It's the worst. Me and Brooke have some fair shares of stories with cars, I could tell you.
We do. But we've never rented a U-Haul, so I think you guys have talked
about it. You beat us on that one.
But I feel like I've heard of other couples doing this, like when you're below 25, like renting a U-Haul because you can rent it, I think, from 18.
I've never even heard of that. Yeah. I would have never even thought to rent a U-Haul.
I mean, I probably wouldn't either, but I have heard of people doing it.
I mean, if you can have four wheels.
I wonder how you guys did like the mileage, because usually they charge you per mile. I thought so.
Or maybe there's another way that maybe they can give you like a flat fee for a day or something.
Yeah, maybe. I'm curious if it's more expensive or not. I love it though. Honeymoon trips are just hilarious, especially if that's like your first time traveling together, because you just like get to figure out how each other
deal with everything. Yeah,
exactly. So when I was 6, my family was traveling to Halifax. Where's that? Halifax?
I'll look it up. Hold on.
I probably am like butchering the...
Oh, Nova Scotia? Is that where it is?
Nova Scotia.
Yeah, Nova Scotia.
Well, so she says, so when I was 6, my family was traveling to Halifax and there was a blackout in the city. We were in a pitch black airport for hours and there was a bride carrying her dress sobbing because she was going to miss her wedding. We couldn't find any hotels and the airport couldn't find our luggage. We ended up having to stay in an awful motel that was an hour away and it was disgusting. It was awful. Thankfully, 10 hours later, the power was back on, but the airport was scrambling trying to get everyone rebooked, luggage, etc. And we finally got on a plane and ended up sitting in it for over an hour due to issues. Although it was a nightmare because we just wanted to leave. They let my brother tell a joke over the intercom and it was super inappropriate. He was 9. Everyone was laughing and my mom was horrified. LMAO, good times.
That sounds awful. That kind of tops ours at PAL. That makes me so sad for you. I don't know what to say. Like,
well, but here's the thing about bad things that happen on trips, you guys. They become the most memorable.
Of course.
Like, we all left PAL saying we will never forget this PAL trip. And clearly she hasn't. Like, this happened to her when she was 6.
I know, it's like word for word, she knows like everything. Yes. And like, Brooke, you've been married to me for going on 10 years now, and you know that I cannot sleep in a crappy motel.
No, Rhett and
I'm kind of bougie a little
are
bit.
Are bougie when it comes to motels or hotels.
I can rough it, but like, no, I'm not doing that. So that is my
Would
nightmare.
You rather sleep in the airport?
Yes.
But you have kids. So think about her parents. They have young kids. They're not going to, they probably like had no choice. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, absolutely. No. And that's the thing. She's a lot better than I am. Yeah.
That sounds
and
rough.
Dealing with plane issues. It just,
yeah, everyone
sad.
Is pissed. Everyone is so pissed.
Everyone's mad.
Well, and then you like just dealt with all that. And then you get back on the plane and you have to sit there for an hour because of the plane issues. Like, oh, I remember Madison, or it was Maddie Castellano. She posted that they had plane issues and they sat in the plane, I think, for 2 hours without AC. And their little boy was like sweating and overheating.
Bro,
that's messed up.
I don't understand why they can't. Listen, I know there's there's a bunch of flight regulation stuff, but like, dude, you're on a plane for an hour with no AC. Like, how is that? Yeah. That should be against health laws. You know what I mean? Like, I would sue somebody.
Yeah. And they ended up having to get off the plane anyways, I think. And like, we're super delayed. Anyway.
I don't understand. Like, there are doors on the airplane. Just open a door and get out. You know what I mean?
Seriously. Well, we feel for you, Maddie, if you're listening.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, there's a million other things I should be doing right now, but this trauma is fresh and you guys would understand. A couple weeks ago, I was flying home from my parents' house in Denver. My husband is a pilot, so I fly a lot and almost always alone with my 2-year-old son, Finn, and 10-month-old daughter. Man, that's a lot. 2 young kids alone. So you can just imagine yourself with Asher, Rocky, and Clove and Echo. Since we fly so much, we have all the things to make it simple. Clear, TSA pre, the up a baby Vista to carry all our crap, and I have her car seat attached to the bottom of the Vista too. We get to the airport and it's insane. I'm talking lines out the door, people yelling because they're missing flights, etc. I've never seen Denver that busy, even the clear TSA pre line, which is usually super fast since so few people have both, took us 20 minutes to get through. And that doesn't include actually going through security and the x-ray machines. It took us 20 minutes just to get to that line. So we get to the conveyor belt and I load up all our stuff up on the belts. And right before we go through the scanner, I take the baby out of her car seat and hold her and let my two-year-old out of the stroller so he can walk through the x-ray. The TSA worker at the x-ray waved him through, and like the seasoned little traveler he is, he waltzes right through and went to the other side to get his bag of toys. As I start to walk through, mind you, holding my 10-month-old and pushing the stroller, another TSA agent starts yelling at me to take my car seat off the stroller. I try to explain that their machines are too old and that my car seat doesn't fit. That I've flown through this airport so many times and really it doesn't fit, but she is demanding. While I try to explain, I realize mid-sentence, my two-year-old is gone. I cannot see him anywhere. Oh, stress.
I know how that goes.
Yeah, we know that. Asher is a runner. And the thing about the Denver airport is that the security ends all at two escalators that take you down to a lower level, to a freaking train that takes you to all the terminals in the airport. My two-year-old knows this, and he loves trains. I go into full-blown mama bear bitch.
This is terrifying.
Yelling at the TSA agent and anyone who will listen. Where is my two-year-old? Where did he go? I don't effing care about this car seat. I have to go find my baby. At this point, everyone is staring. People next to me are asking me what he's wearing, tell me that they'll go through the security and go find him for me. Another fellow mom is yelling at the TSA agent, asking her how on earth she expects me to even take the car seat off, considering that I have nowhere to safely set my child down. Another man is asking me to hold my baby. I'm in full-blown panic mode. Hands are shaking. My heart is racing. Everyone is trying to help me, but honestly, my ears were ringing. To be honest, I'm not even sure what happened. I think I shoved my stroller at a TSA agent by the x-ray and said something like, you deal with this, and marched to the x-ray machine. At this point, I didn't care if they threw me out of the airport entirely. I just needed to find my baby. I made it all the way to the escalators before some random stranger emerged at the top with my two-year-old. He was sobbing. So many tears and crying. Where's my mommy? I need to find my mommy. Where did she go? Someone brought my stroller to me. I still remember that there were people yelling at the TSA agent, but I have no clue who they were or what they were saying. The worst part is that I couldn't even stop and hug my child and let both of us calm down after that. It was too busy and there were too many people. I still had to get on a train, shaking and with a face full of tears. I'm sure I was a sight. So glad everything ended up okay, but that was by far the most terrifying 5 minutes of parenthood so far. And long story short, my toddler now travels with a bracelet that has his name and my phone number on it. RIP the 5 years those 5 minutes took of my life. So sorry this was so long. Oh my gosh. That is terrifying.
There's so many things with this story that are just like racing through my mind. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. Like, we know how stressful the TSA lines are, like, dude, not to mention like
why
barking
is it,
orders at you.
Listen, I'm not trying to be mean towards TSA agents, okay? I get they do their job. They do whatever they're supposed to do. But like, dude, you're a TSA agent. You know what I mean? Like,
they have power trips. Let's just say that.
Yeah. Well, dude, like, I'm sorry, dude, but if my kid is gone, I feel like just common courtesy and like,
yeah, like they should take over in that situation and be like, okay, you go through the x-ray machine. We'll take care of the,
it's like
the
it's
car
like,
seat for you. You know, like they should like have protocol. Taken control.
It's like a protocol for them. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. they literally have this protocol and it's like, they have to stick by it, but it's like, dude,
I mean, I get it. It's like safety and security, but also like, this is a kid.
No, you need to recognize the situation.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I get it. But again, like if there's a mom panicking, and you know, you hats off to the other moms, dude, as well for doing that too, because yes, that takes a lot too. You know, I mean, if I saw a mom in stress, like I would get her back, no doubt about it.
For sure. Well, and there's nothing like just have like sobbed your eyes out and then like to have to like still proceed and like have everybody staring at you and you're still like not recovered. My heart hurts for you. Like, this sounds awful.
At this point, I'm stiff arming people. Like, get out of my way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. When these kinds of things happen to us, Red's the mad one. I'm the one that's for sure sobbing, crying. And we're like, we'll either go back and forth. Like, one of us is like pissed and yelling at it, like whoever we see. And then the other person is like trying to be calm and rational. And then we'll like switch.
Yeah, but you're usually the calm one.
Usually.
That's awful though. I'm telling you. That actually terrifies me.
That happened.
But you're a trooper. I'll say that. To the next one. I was going on a school trip to Nepal and needed to go on malaria medication. At this point, I couldn't swallow pills, so I was literally crushing them up and eating them. Grossest taste ever. Then I started feeling really weird. It literally felt like I was drunk. I couldn't walk straight. I had crazy changes in emotion, like giggling fit to almost asleep in 0.2 seconds. I was like this for legit a week, to the point that my teachers were asking my friends if I had taken or maybe been given something on the street. Turns out my doctor prescribed me a medication that prevents malaria, but it also is a psychedelic medicine. I was fine, thank God, but it was definitely an experience.
Jeez.
I mean, how was it?
That's crazy. I feel like that should have been a warning that they told you. You know what I mean? Like, they should have warned you that medication does that, and like maybe just take it at night or something.
Wait, I'm very confused that your doctor did not tell you that you would have some sort of side effects.
I know.
But other than that, like, how was it? You know what I mean? Like, was it crazy? Like, I don't know. Obviously, we don't do drugs, and I've never done even psychedelics, and I don't plan on it, but I heard it's crazy.
Yeah, this sounds nuts. Like, I've never heard of anything like this before.
Because I've gotten malaria. I've had malaria pills, but I've never.
Yeah, you didn't have any of those side effects.
No.
Well, how was Nepal? I hope the trip went well.
Yeah, exactly. I heard Nepal's cool.
Yeah. All right. Didn't happen to me, but it happened to my fiance's family about 3 years ago. They went on vacation to a resort in Cancun. They were traveling as a family, parents, teenagers, young adults, and children. The family left the resort to tour at the local shops. They saw a group of sketchy people, but didn't think much of it at the time. But there was also a lot of locals recruiting for the local clubs in the area outside of the resort. The young adults really wanted to go to the club, so the adults agreed to go. While at the club, they noticed the same group of sketchy people there as well. Again, didn't think anything of it. The waitress kept bringing shots to their table, and one of my fiance's uncle had to tell the waitress to stop bringing drinks because they had had enough to drink. One of the young adults went to the restroom, and at that time, one of the adults that had stayed back with the children received a call to her room saying that they were going to kidnap the girls at the club. Even described what the girls were wearing. They also told them that they could see their two children in the pool. Family left the club in a hurry, and to sum up the story, because it's a long one, there was nothing security at the hotel could do. The whole family slept in one room for the remainder of their trip and didn't leave. They kept getting phone calls to the room but chose not to answer. They were trying to traffic the girls that were with the group, and the family has never again traveled because they are traumatized. Ugh. That's literally my worst nightmare.
Yeah, that's Brooke's biggest fear.
Like, oh, that sounds so scary. Oh my gosh. And like, yeah, that's why I just don't go to clubs, people in foreign countries. Like, I feel like that's where all the bad stuff happens.
Yeah, that's all I can say about that.
Like, it's one thing to go clubbing in like your own country and what you're familiar with and like what you know to look out for. But it's another thing when you're in a foreign country, you don't speak the language, you don't know what's normal and what's not. I don't know. That's so sketchy. I mean, make your own smart, rational choices, but man, that is terrifying. And I mean, even the adults were with them. So it's not like it was a bunch of young, irresponsible kids. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Gosh, but they probably made the right call, like all sleeping together. Like, oh, yeah. I probably would have totally done that.
Oh yeah. I wouldn't. No, I'd be with everyone.
And that's sad though, that they don't travel anymore because of it. I mean, you can't live in fear, you know? I get why they're traumatized and that would be hard, but also just like maybe go to safer destinations and I don't know, start small, get yourself more familiar, comfortable with things.
And go to Iceland, dude. Iceland's pretty sick.
Iceland is beautiful. Okay, moving on.
All right. I was just stuck at O'Hare with a 3-hour flight delay with my 9-month-old and almost 3-year-old who is on the spectrum. Long story short, I got over my fear of breastfeeding in public, and my toddler had very expensive Cool Ranch Doritos for dinner. Golly, dude. Any sort of flight delay with kids, I'm sorry.
Well, but just like expensive Doritos. Like, so relatable, so true. Like, you will do anything, you'll buy anything for your kids if like you're in a situation like that. And good for you for getting over your fear of breastfeeding in public. But
sorry, people who shame moms for breastfeeding, I can't do it.
It's just insane.
I can't do it. Like, that is your.
I know.
Man, whatever. People.
Imagine going to the beach with your family and only 2 hours away from your destination, one of your family members starts to feel ill. ill. They stopped to get tested for COVID and it turned out positive. We ended up having to rush to try and find somewhere to stay separately from our family, and it sucked. We were in separate cars, so we knew we could possibly still be fine since we hadn't interacted too much beforehand, and we had our 3-month and 2-year-old with us. Turned out to still be a good vacation, but it was 1000% not what we expected. Yeah, that sucks.
It sounds stressful.
Anything with sicknesses, just like puts a damper on the trip. But I'm glad that you guys still like went and enjoyed it.
Did everything, yeah.
And yeah, you just had to like find a different place to stay.
Me, my son, and my husband's family went to Orlando 2 years ago, which made my son 10 months old at the time. We spent a week in Florida. In the morning, we're supposed to be leaving and headed to the airport. I cannot find my wallet anywhere, which has my ID that I need to board the plane. We're frantically searching the room, calling the front desk. It's nowhere to be found. We have no choice but to leave the resort and head to the airport. Orlando's airport is a nightmare in itself, but with no identification for myself makes the process even worse. I'm pulled into the room with a security person who is interrogating me, asking me basically to prove my identity, asking questions like what's your last three home addresses. While I'm being questioned, my husband has no choice but to board the plane with my son, which my husband is absolutely freaking out about taking my son solo, and I miss my flight. I end up having to take a 13-hour drive with my in-laws, who are sweet old people that drive 5 below the speed limit and obviously will not allow me to drive because, well, I have no license. Okay, I'm going to speak on this one first. I was in this exact situation before I was married to you.
Oh, I never knew that you went to the airport without an ID.
Yeah, well, I was on the way to the airport and I told my dad, I was like, hey, well, first let's expand on this, because I will tell you that sounds like a nightmare. Going to the airport, the first thing you check is your license. And if you don't have it or you can't find it, that is stressful. Oh,
so stressful. I always do it like a couple days in advance because that is like my number one fear to happen. And
then driving with your in-laws, I'm just kidding.
Worst possible outcome. No. Yeah, that sucks. I mean, your husband did it. You made it, but that sucks that you like went through the whole process and still didn't make the flight. Like, ugh.
Let me just say, like, so when I was driving, I'll just really quickly say this. Before I even like graduated high school, we went to Georgia with my family. And I remember we were in the car and my dad was like, "Kate, does everyone have everything? You have everything, your licenses?" And I'm like, "Yeah, oh shoot." And like, we were already to the airport. And my dad gets really frustrated like fast. And so he freaked out on me and he's like, "Well," and he played like the whole like worst case scenario. He's like, "Well, I don't know if you're gonna be able to go now." And I'm like, "Okay, well, what do I do?" And he's like, "I don't know. We'll figure it out." And it is classic. And I'm gonna quote on this. It is terrifying how much they know about your life when they interrogate you.
Yeah.
It's terrifying. Like, they knew that I had one sister. They said, "What's your one sister's name?" But like,
well, yeah, I mean, that doesn't seem that shocking.
No, but like, but the way like they said it, and like there was even more things, like they have to like distinguish that you're you.
Right.
And the amount of stuff they know about you is terrifying. It's scary. And so long story short, I was able to get on the flight, but guess what? I had to do it on the way back. And so, it was OMG. I was barely dating my now husband for like 1 month and decided to let him tag along to my B-Day trip around Spain and Portugal. So as you can guess, we're still getting to know each other. So we're still in that super, super honeymoon phase. All is going well for the beginning of the trip. We make it through Lisbon and Sintra. And at the very end of our Porto stay, he drinks some local potable water and totally gets annihilated. All modesty went out the window and poor dude was in a committed relationship with the toilet. Mind you, we only rented a 1-bed, 1-bath Airbnb. Well, so yeah. Haha, 24 hours later, we have to catch the train to the airport to hop on a flight to Madrid, and the poor dude was still going through it. We make it to Madrid, and I guess the toilets flush differently in Spain than they do in Portugal. And well, yeah, he breaks the toilet after completely destroying. But that's not the worst part. The walls are so thin in our Airbnb that the host who lives there and their whole family could hear him blowing up the toilet from the other room. And you can hear them go silent and then start laughing. Needless to say, we tried to not show our faces to that family. And 6 years later, we still haven't gotten a guest review from the host on our stay. Now we're married with one kid. Ha ha. I feel for him. I knew there was a reason why I was talking about this today. That is a nightmare.
I'm crying. Oh my gosh.
That poor Man.
Dude, having to travel like in the car or on a plane when you have bathroom problems is probably like one of the worst
And
things.
you know when he's in that bathroom, he's trying to like clinch and like trying to like very slowly
Like, try to not
goes
make any sounds.
yes, or he's like turning on the sink or the bath or like the faucet, and he's just trying to make it as less stressful as possible. He dude was probably sweating so bad in there trying to figure it out. I feel so bad for him. And I've been in those situations. I'm sure I've been in some with you and when we were first getting to know each other, but I just can't remember them.
Heard the host laughing. I've died.
That's so funny. That is a great story.
That's a really good story. I'm glad you guys made it. Like, and you made it out of it alive, and you're still together and married.
You know, for kicks and giggles, you should just message that host and say, "Hey, did you hear anything when we stayed there all those time ago?" Just
I'm sure they
kidding.
remember you
Oh yeah.
guys.
They're like, "Oh yeah, you were the trumpet in the
Oh
in the
my
bathroom."
gosh, I'm done. But that sounds actually like a really awesome trip. I really want to go to Spain.
Yeah.
Somebody says, "Oh, I can't wait to share mine. I'll have to send a video or something because it's long." And then she never sent anything. Dang it. Okay, let's see. My husband and I were doing a parents-only night at a hotel nearby. Apparently, there was a club baseball team there. At about midnight, the fire alarm went off. The halls were smoky, and we had to evacuate the building. It was so cold outside, and I didn't have my much pajama coverage. These dumb kids set off the fire alarm several times by burning popcorn in microwaves. We ended up giving up at 3 a.m., got a refund, and went to my mother-in-law's house to sleep since she had stayed the night at our house. Happy anniversary to us.
Dude, okay, let me ask you a question, dude. Who the heck is just burning popcorn?
I know, to set off a fire alarm.
Well, and
That's
how
so
old are these
dumb.
kids? I wonder.
Right.
Like,
That's so, like, that just pisses me
that
off for
makes
you
me mad.
guys.
Like, I mean, Brooke knows very well. If it was me, I would have went over there and knocked on the door and like asked what was going on. Like, that's insane.
I know that sucks so
Well, and my
bad.
question is why? What's the hotel doing?
I know.
Or do they
And
obviously
they
know where
got
it's
a
coming from,
refund.
so why aren't they? That's crazy. I'm sorry for you. That's very frustrating.
I mean, at least you were somewhere nearby where you can go and stay somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean
That's like
that's
the
crazy.
only
Upside to it.
upside. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, not much else to say about that besides I'm sorry, that sucks.
Let's go burn popcorn and set off fire alarms. Like, what the heck, man?
Ugh, so upsetting. Well, maybe you guys can make up for it next year with a better anniversary trip. Go somewhere out of the state, out of the country. I don't know. Use your refund to like make the next one better.
Yeah, spice it up.
There you go. Well, you guys did not disappoint. We got so many good stories. We didn't even read them all. So thank you for submitting. And hopefully you guys enjoyed it and got some good laughs or were able to relate to some of these people. I know that made me feel a lot better about our trip.
Yeah.
We can all,
Everyone goes through it, man.
yep, we all go through it. And, you know, they do make the most memorable trips. We'll say that.
That is 100% true.
And as always, you guys, don't forget to follow us on Instagram. That's where we put all of these questionnaires. So if you want to participate, be sure to be following us so that you can see our stories when we put up these submissions requests. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you guys next time. Bye.